pressing issues that we face, from inflationary pressures and fiscal imbalances to exchange rate volatility and debt sustainability. We understand that these are not just numbers on a spreadsheet, but real challenges that impact the lives of our fellow citizens, and this forum is in recognition of these realities. We are also in a time where there's a great call for more action and less talk, but it is important to state that while action is needed, indeed paramount, it is through constructive dialogue and informed discourse that the seeds of impactful actions are sown. My minister and the ministry take the view that the interaction between academia and policy, a cornerstone of this gathering, serves as a conduit for translating ideas into action. The interaction between research and implementation, theory and practice, is not merely advantageous, but essential for shaping policies that are not only effective, but also sustainable in the long run. To echo my minister's oft-quoted remark, we always do better when we work together. It's also in that regard that I sincerely thank the University of Ghana for partnering with the Ministry of Finance in this national endeavor. We are really grateful. As we gather here today, I humbly invite each of you to partake in this discourse with a sense of purpose and enthusiasm. Our deliberations today have the power to spark innovative solutions, inspire change, and lay the groundwork for a more stable and prosperous economy. As mentioned earlier, our theme for today is timely and relevant. Ghana faces significant challenges, and yet, within these lie opportunities for lasting reforms and change. Before we delve into our discussion, I believe that it is important to candidly assess our current situation. Over recent years, Ghana has experienced volatility in several key economic indicators. Inflation has been uncomfortably high. Our currency has faced depreciation pressures, and fiscal deficits have been quite wide. These have been exacerbated by external factors, such as fluctuations in global commodity prices and the economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, among others. Since mid-2021, for instance, the US dollar has greatly appreciated, driven by the improved terms of trade, rising risk aversion amid heightened geopolitical tensions, and marked and prolonged monetary tightening by the Federal Reserve. It is against this backdrop that currencies of about 125 emerging and developing economies, including ours, is now 17% weaker on the average than they have been in the past 10 years. It is refreshing to note, however, that the macroeconomic backdrop for today's discussion is improving. Growth is robust, averaging 4.7% in quarter one of 2024, and this is mainly driven by industry growing at 6.8%, and also agri-which grew by 4.1%, and the services sector 3.3%. This is higher than the average 3.1 that was recorded over the same period last year. Inflation fell to 23.1% in May from 25% in April. The 23.1% we see today is the lowest since March 2022. Exchange rate has largely stabilized since 2023, and the recent pressures on the cedi are being contained. Our gross international reserves is improving. Fiscal consolidation is holding. The rate of accumulation of public debts is declining following the successful completion of the debt restructuring program. Interest rates are falling, and we are putting in place key structural reforms to support growth. Just last Friday, the IMF board approved the second review, and $360 million financing relating to the program was approved. Yesterday's joint press briefing bore ample testament to how we have staged the course of reform under the PCPEG program, causing the IMF to revise our growth rate from 2.8% to 3.1%. I am confident that our steadfast commitments and results are what underpin the restoration of confidence in our economy. We have secured impressive results from our economic engagements with our bilateral and multilateral counterparts, and we have successfully completed the restructuring of our external debts and of our external debts with private creditors. This brings to an end the debt restructuring program we began in December 2022.